الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class, we're discussing some important issues with regards to the isnad, with regards to al-isnad في الإسلام, one al-isnad من الدين, with regards to the chain of narration in al-islam, and that the chain of narration is from the religion, from the deen, and it's from the means that Allah has decreed that His religion will be preserved and protected and guaranteed and maintained until the day of resurrection. We talked about a number of issues from that, is with regards to the tabaqat. The narrators in the chain, they are in levels and tabaqat. And in general, we have seen that there are four, and that is the tabaqa of the sahaba, and the tabaqa of the tabi'een, and the tabaqa of the atba' tabi'een, and the tabaqa of tabi'u atba' tabi'een. These are the four tabaqat, yani of the narrators of hadith, the four main tabaqat of the narrators of hadith. We've seen that the first three, now that these are al-qurun al-mufaddala, al-qurun al-thalatha al-mufaddala, the three, al-qurun al-mufaddala al-thalatha, the three virtuous generations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had praised in more than one narration. The one that's from the most famous, khayrun nas qarni thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina yalunahum, but also in another narration in Sunan Abi Dawud, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, tasma'una wa yusma'u minkum, that you're going to hear the knowledge, and you're going to hear, you need the knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ, that you're going to hear the knowledge of the revelation, it's going to be heard from you. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, it's going to be heard from those who heard from you. So this is three generations. تَسْمَعُونَ يعني الصحابة, they're going to hear the knowledge. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ, and it will be heard from you. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, it will be heard from those who heard from you. So these are three generations likewise mentioned. And so the affair of the tabaqat is something that is established in the sunnah. It's something that is established in the sunnah. So again, the first tabaqa is the companions. And then after that, the second is the students of the companions. And then after that is their students, and then their students. So these first three, this is the most virtuous generations of Muslims. But also the fourth one is very virtuous as well. Even some of them have considered along with the three. But Allah knows best, they are three. And then after that, no doubt, is this fourth generation. And we've seen also in our previous class, barakallahu fikum, that in this fourth generation, this is whenever al-kutub al-sitta, they were gathered. In the fourth generation, this is whenever the six main books of hadith, they were collected, gathered, and authored. And then after that, the majority of the people of knowledge, the majority of the scholars of hadith are transmitting these books after them. Although others authored works after them, like Ibn Khuzaymah, who died in the year 311, and like his student Ibn Hibban, who died in 354, and like his student Al-Hakim, Al-Naysaburi, who died in the year 405, and then after him, likewise Al-Bayhaqi. These are from the well-known scholars of hadith who narrated and collected narrations and authored works after them. And there are others as well, like Al-Tahawi. He died in the year 321. He has a large book. Al-Baghawi has a book, a large book. Shuhr al-Sunnah, he died in the year 516. There are many other books and collections of hadith with chains of narration after the Kutub al-Sitta. Al-Tabarani, he has three main books, even other books besides that as well, books of narrations and collections of hadith with his chain back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as Ad-Darqutni. He has a book as well, as Sunan Ad-Darqutni. He died in 385, rahimahullah. So there's many other works as well, but the main focus was on Al-Kutub al-Sitta. The main focus after authoring these works was Al-Kutub al-Sitta. Al-Kutub al-Sitta, although there are other works likewise which are also reliable and very beneficial as well. But to see that these generations here, these are the best generations, the generations of narrations. And in that fourth generation specifically, this was the time the scholars of hadith were striving hard in defense of the sunnah, collecting the sunnah and authoring works. And then those books later are transmitted to us as they were authored with chain of narration likewise. We discussed the tabaqat of Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, in his book At-Taqrib, Taqrib At-Tahdhib. So we've seen that there are four generations likewise, four tabaqat. In general, there are four tabaqat. The Sahaba, the Tabi'un, Atba' Tabi'in, and Tabi'u, Atba' Tabi'in. But he divided these four tabaqat into 12, rahimahullah. So he made the Sahaba one tabaqah. And then in general, the Tabi'un, Atba' Tabi'in, wa Tabi'u, Atba' Tabi'in, they can be summarized in three tabaqat each. Kibar, Wusta, and Sigar. You have the major, and the middle, and the minor. And the tabaqah of the Tabi'in. And the same thing in the tabaqah of Atba' Tabi'in. And the same thing in the tabaqah of the Tabi'u, Atba' Tabi'in. You have those who are considered major, meaning they had mulazima with their teachers before them from the other tabaqah. So the Tabi'un, the major ones, they sat with the companions with a number of them, and they learned from a number of them, and they spent a long time with them likewise. As for if they sat with fewer, or the time that they spent with them were fewer, then they will fall down in that tabaqah, although they're from the Tabi'in. Until the last level, the Sigar al-Tabi'in, from those who maybe only met a few of the companions or spent a little bit of time with him in comparison to those before them. So the Tabi'un, you will find them that they narrate one on the other, especially those from the lower generations. They will narrate a lot on those above them from the Tabi'in, and likewise the Tabi'at Tabi'in, and so on and so forth. So Ibn Hajar, he divided the Tabi'un specifically, he divided Tabaqat Tabi'in specifically into five categories. Yani, with regards to the minor. So you have the major, and then the middle, and the one who follows the middle, and then the one who met one or two of the companions, and the one who didn't meet any of the companions. So that was the details that we took yesterday. As for these extra details, that's with regards to the minor Tabi'in. So from the scholars of Hadith, who discuss these affairs of the Tabaqat, and the narrators of Hadith, and how they're transmitted, and how they reached us, and their students, and the likes like this, was a great imam. His name is Adi ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah ta'ala. Abu al-Hassan, he died in the year 234. He has a work called Ma'rifatul Rijal. He has a work called Al-Ilal wa Ma'rifatul Rijal wa Tariq. Al-Ilal, yani the hidden defects in the narrations, and having knowledge of the men, the narrators of Hadith, and likewise the history, yani the dates and history. In this particular work, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned many benefits. He begins by saying, نَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا الْإِسْنَانِ يُدُورُ عَلَى سِتَّةِ. He said, I looked and pondered over the chains, and I found that all of the chains, they revolve around six. And he mentioned them and the information about them. And then he says, and then the knowledge of these six went to 12. And then the knowledge of these 12 went to six more. And then he began to discuss other issues after that about the Sahaba. And he coming from there, and then he's going to go back. And he's talking about the Sahaba. And he mentioned that the Qudat of the Sahaba was Umar and Ali and Ibn Mas'ud. And likewise, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. These were the Qudat, the judges from the Sahaba that were known for issuing judgments and rulings and the likes like this, and they were known for that, and they had great effort and striving in that. And also he mentioned that as for the Sahaba in general, there are only three of them that had madaris. They had schools. They had students who were following them and learning from them. They were following them like diligently and learning from them and learning their madhab and learning their fatawa and learning their manners and learning their demeanor and learning their conduct, learning their way, learning the recitation of the Qur'an and learning their understanding and the fiqh and the jurisprudence, and they will follow them diligently. So there are three of them, and they were Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abdullah ibn Abbas and Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhum. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was in Al-Kufa, and Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was in Mecca, and Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhum, he was in Al-Madinah. So these three companions specifically, they had great efforts in teaching and spreading knowledge. And they had students who were well known, and they were narrators of Hadith. Well known narrators of Hadith from the Tabi'in, who made mulazamah shadeedah, and they're holding fast to the gatherings and following the ways of these companions. And they're transmitting the narrations and the methodology and the fatawa and the rulings and understanding that they learned from their teacher to those after them. And the knowledge was carried down to us in this manner. So this work here by Adi ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, is very beneficial. But in order for us to know who were...
Would you repeat the 70%?
Zayd ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Zayd ibn Thabit. Zayd ibn Thabit. Naam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was in Al-Kufa. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was in Mecca. And Zayd ibn Thabit, he was in Medina. They were alive along with other companions, alive at the same time. Even in Medina, Aisha was in Medina. Abu Hurairah was in Medina. Likewise, they're teaching, and they had students, they're learning, but it was not in this manner. These individuals, they had teachers who were learning from them, and they're learning their methodology and their way, and they're learning their fatawa, memorizing that and spreading it. Memorizing that and spreading it, and they were from the well-known narrators of hadith likewise, narrating to the ummah that which they learned from these companions specifically. So they were called al-madaris al-thalatha, sahabati Rasulullah. Yes, sahabati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The three schools of learning, the three schools of learning. Yani, which was one was in Mecca, the other in Medina, and the other in Kufa. The other in Kufa. Yani, they had كانوا لهم تلاميذ وتلاب يذهبون مذهبهم ويفتون بفتاويهم. That this is what he said in there, that they had students that were following their way precisely, learning their methodology and giving the fatwa based upon their fatwa. يقرؤون بقراءته. They are reciting the same recitation that they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're carrying that down to those after them. So this man here, Ali Ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is from the greatest scholars of hadith. He died in the year 234. And his kunya is Abu al-Hasan. And Dhahabi, he mentioned about him as Shaykh al-Imam al-Hujjah to Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith. That he's a Shaykh al-Imam al-Hujjah, the proof. Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith. He's a leader of the believers in al-Hadith. Abu Hatim al-Razi, who is that? What's his name? Abu Hatim al-Razi. Muhammad ibn Idris. Ahsanta. Barakallah feek. Muhammad ibn Idris. Abu Hatim al-Razi. Abu Hatim al-Razi. He died in 277. He mentioned about him. Kana alaman fi al-Nas. Fi marifati al-Hadithi wal-Ilm. Kana alaman. He was a great scholar and leader. And he kana alaman yani sayyidan. Fi al-Nas. He was a leader amongst the people in understanding the narrations and the defects found in the narrations. وَكَانَ أَحْمَدْ لَا يُسَمِّيهِ إِنَّمَا يُكَنِّيهِ تَبْجِيرًا لَهُ. And that Imam Ahmad, he would never call him by his name. Imam Ahmad would never call him by his name. Imam Ahmad would never call him by his name. He would only call him by his kunya out of honor and reverence for him. مَا سَمِعْتُ أَحَدٍ سَمَّاهُ قَطْ. I never heard anyone call him by his name ever. I never heard anyone call him by his name ever. Ali ibn Madini, rahimahullah, Abu al-Hassan, out of respect for him. And this is an indication that the people of knowledge, they're honored. And from honoring the people of knowledge, that you do not call them by their name. That you do not call them by their name. The people of knowledge, you call them with respect, either by their kunya or by a name that indicates respect related to knowledge, like a shaykh, or depending on his level, al-hafidh, for example, or a shaykh, or al-mu'allim, or al-mudarris, or ustadh. And the lights like this, you don't call him by his name, you call him in this manner like this. This is from having respect, and this is from having good manners with the teacher. You don't call him by his name. You don't even call your parents by their name likewise. The one who will not call his father by his name, and he calling him, speaking to him. To talk about them is one thing, and to call them is another. To talk about them and give information about them is one thing, and to speak to them directly, this is another. Yani Ibn Umar, he would say, Qala Umar. He would say, Qala Umar. Umar said, but whenever he would address the father, you address the father, you don't call him by his name. You don't call him by his name, by his first name. The same thing with the teacher. Whether it's a male or female, it's a male or female. It's from bad manners that one would call the teacher by their first name like this. Whether it's a male or female, this is not from the good and noble manners. This is not from the right way. Rather, the people of knowledge, they have books written about this. And from them in Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his work Al-Jami' li Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami, the concise book about the manners of the narrators and the etiquettes of the students, he mentioned babu ta'zim al-muhaddith wa tabjirihi, the chapter about honoring the muhaddith, the shaykh, the teacher, and respecting him. He mentioned his chain of narration to Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. He died in the year 110, from the great scholars of hadith. He says, رأيت عبد الرحمن ابن أبي ليلى وَأَصْحَابُهُ يُعَذِّمُونَهُ يُسَوِّدُونَهُ وَيُشَرِّفُونَهُ مِثْلَ الْأَمِيرِ. He said that I saw Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'een and the scholars of Hadith and his companions. We learned that a man's companions, here's what is intended, وَأَصْحَابُهُ يعني وَتَلَامِذَهُ وَتُلَابَهُ, and his students, they are honoring him and respecting him like he was the Muslim ruler. They're honoring him and respecting him like he was the Muslim ruler. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَوْقَرَ لِلْمُحَدِّثِينَ مَنْ يَحْيَ بْنْ مَعِينَ. I said, I never seen anyone showing more respect and honor to the scholars of Hadith than Yahya ibn Ma'in. Yahya ibn Ma'in, he's the companion of Imam Ahmad, from the best and the greatest of the scholars of Hadith. He died in the year 233. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah himself, he says, I never seen anyone أوقر يعني more showing more honor and showing more respect and more love to the people of Hadith, to the scholars of Hadith, than Yahya ibn Ma'in. And this is from the Wallahu A'lam, the ways that they reached these high levels. Yahya ibn Ma'in is from the greatest of the scholars of Hadith, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Khatib, he says, yani after mentioning these narrations with his chain and other narrations too, I just mentioned some of them. He says, إِذَا خَاطَبَ الطَّالِبُ إِذَا خَاطَبَ الطَّالِبُ الْمُحَدِّثَ يُعَظِّمُهُ فِي خِطَابِهِ بِنِسْبَتِهِ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ. That whenever a student, he addresses the teacher, and the muhaddith, here is the teacher, then he will honor him in the way that he addresses him by ascribing him to knowledge. مِثْلُ أَنْ يَقُولُ, like he will say, أَيُّهَا الْعَالِمُ, O scholar, O أَيُّهَا الْحَافِظُ, وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. And he will say the likes of these words, O scholar, O hafiz. He says, and like that. So for example, in our days, you call him Shaykh, or you call him Ustad, or you call him Muallim, or you call him the names that are suitable in the society and well known for the likes of that person, who is a teacher. So this is the proper way. Or you call him by his kunya. This is from the good manners. But you don't call him by his name. This is not from the good manners. I said you don't call him by his names. What I mean by that is you don't call him or her by his names. Right, by their name, him or her. This includes the women. There's teachers likewise who are women, and they have great effort in teaching and cultivating the sisters, and directing them and advising them and helping them learn and gain understanding in their religion. And it's incumbent to respect them likewise and not call them by their name. You call them by her kunya, or you call her muallima, or you call her ustadha, or you call him Sheikha, and the likes like this, especially if they're older than you and they're teachers. Even if they're teachers and they're younger than you, it's an obligation to still honor and respect them, because by way of knowledge, people become big. By way of knowledge, people who are small become big. They become honored and respectable whenever the knowledge is sound and what is known from them is good, and that they carry that in a good manner, in a proper way, and that's what is known from them. We have to honor them and respect them for the sake of Allah. And honoring and respecting them is from the deen. And honoring the scholars and the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge and the teachers is from the deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِأَلِمَنَا حَقَّ. He is not from us, and he's not upon our way properly and good. The one who does not show mercy to the youth and does not honor the elder, does not show mercy to the youth and doesn't honor the elder, and he doesn't know the right of our scholar, any of our people of knowledge. So the people of knowledge, we have to honor them and respect them. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Nukhbat al-Fikr, and also in the explanation Nushat al-Nadhar, he mentions in the end of this, which the majority of the scholars who discuss the sciences of Hadith, they mention these chapters, Adab al-Shaykhi wa Talib. Adab al-Shaykh wa Talib. So they will mention the manners of the teacher and the manners of the student. And they'll mention manners that they share in and manners that are individual. The manners that they have as individuals. So the teacher and the student, they share in many manners that they must abide by. And that would indicate that they are truly from the people of knowledge in that which they are teaching or seeking. Yani that they have these manners. But there are certain manners for the teacher that the student doesn't have to have or will not have. And there are certain manners that the student, that the teacher, he will not have. Only certain manners that are specific to them. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has some beautiful commentary about this affair. In this chapter here, the portion, whatever, Ibn Hajar, he says, Adabu Shaykhi wa Talib, the etiquettes of the Shaykh and the student. He says, وَيَنْفَرِدُ الطَّالِبُ بِأَنْ يُوَقِّرَ الشَّيْخٍ. Now it mentions a number of affairs. That which is concerning us now is this issue here. And the student, he singled out with the fact that he must honor the Shaykh. وَيَنْفَرِدْ, yani the student is different from the Shaykh, from the aspect, and بِأَنْ يُوَقِّرَ الشَّيْخ, that he has to honor and respect the Shaykh. التوقير is التعظيم والتبجيل, that you honor, احترام, that you have respect, that you have honor, that you show dignity, that you do not belittle or show lack of concern for. So he's saying that you must have this honor, this توقير for the Shaykh. Shaykh Uthaymeen in his commentary here, he says, رحمه الله تعالى, الطالب عليه أن يوقر الشيخ في حال إلقاء وفي غير حال الإلقاء. That the student, he has to honor the Shaykh while he's teaching and while he's not teaching. In the case whenever he's teaching and in the case whenever he's not teaching. لأن الشيخ له فضل على الطالب. Because the Shaykh, he has a virtue over the student. فينبغي أن يوقره ويحترمه. It's incumbent for the student to honor him and to respect him. وَلِأَنَّ الطَّالِبَ إِذَا لَمْ يَشْعُرْ بِإِحْتِرَامِ الْمُعَلِّمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَنْتَفِعْ مِنْهُ غَالِبًا. And because the student, if he does not feel respect for the teacher, for the muallim, then most of the time he will not benefit from him. وَلِذَلِكَ إِذَا سَقَطَ الْمُعَلِّمُ فِي أَعْيُنِ التَّلَامِيذِ قَلَّ أَنْ يَنْتَفِعُ بِعِلْمِهِ. And this is because if the teacher falls in the eyes of the students, then they will almost never benefit from him. They will rarely benefit from his knowledge. فإذا رأوه محل احترام وتوقير انتفعوا بعلمه كثيراً. But if they find him to be honorable and respectable, then they will benefit from his knowledge a lot. And then he says, رحمه الله, أما أن يكون يخاطب الطالب أستاذه سواء في المدرسة أو في المسجد على أنه مثله في قرينه فثق أنه لن يستفيد منه. As for if the student is addressing his teacher, whether it's in the school or in the masjid, like he's similar to him, or like he's his peer, then trust, he will not benefit from him. He will not benefit from him. So if you have a teacher, you don't call him by his name. You don't act like he's your close friend, even if maybe he may be. Maybe if he's humble. The teacher, from the rights of the teacher, is that he will be humble, that he will not be arrogant, and that he will be humble towards those who he teaches, and he will bring them to his level and act like he's from them. But the reality now is not about the manners of the teacher, it's about the manners of the student. It's incumbent for the students to honor the teacher, even if the teacher's humble. You say, Alhamdulillah, you have a humble teacher. Because some teachers, they're not humble. Some teachers are jababira. Jabbar, and he's misusing the people, he's belittling the people, or lies to the people, or he's rude to the people, and he puts the people down in the light side. This is something that's well known, especially in these days. There's narrations about this from Sufyan al-Thawri. He died in 161. And he said, "Watch out! Wala takunu jababira al-ulama. Do not be jababir ulama. Do not be tyrant scholars. Do not be tyrant scholars." And the light side. This is something that is well known. So the fact that one has a teacher that's humble, that's helpful, that looks out for them, that does their best to teach them and to direct them and to keep them involved in that which is beneficial and turn them away from that which is harmful in their life, like this is from the greatest favor and blessings. It's incumbent to honor them and to not act like they're your close friend. So if you have a teacher, whether he's a male or a female, whether he's a male or female, he's the sisters. They have teachers on the sister's side in this masjid, alhamdulillah. And may Allah accept from them their effort and what we know from them is they're diligent in teaching, alhamdulillah, and participating in this great effort of calling to Allah and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have to honor them and respect them. We don't call them by their first name. If your teacher's name is Zainab, you don't say, Hey Zainab, for example. What do you mean, Zainab? Ya mu'allima, ya ustada, ya shaykha. Aqall al-shay, that you, at least you call her by her kunya. At least you call, even if she's not even your teacher, but she's older than you, don't say, oh, Zainab. Zainab, even you don't talk in their absence, normally like this, you don't say, you still honor your teacher. You still call him, you still hafidhullah. Zainab, Ustada Zainab said this and that, hafidhullah, even in her absence. Or if somebody were to talk bad about her, then you check them. You check them in their absence. So this is for the woman teacher and the male teacher. Same thing for the man. You don't call him, Zaid, come here, what's this? Or you don't call him from far away. Zaid, come here. Zaid is your teacher. He's sitting down teaching you. He's teaching you the Quran. He's teaching you the Maqarij. He's teaching you, he's teaching you the Sunnah. He's teaching you the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You don't call him like he's your friend walking down the street, hollering at him from the masjid, and like this. Zaid, come back, I got a question. What kind of madness is that? Ya akhi, Allah hidika. So these things, they happen, and the teachers, they're patient with that, and they deal with that, but the point is that we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be like that. So if we have, if we're a sister, we call our teacher Ustada. We call our teacher Shaykha. We call our teacher Muallima. Or we call her by her kunya, Ya Fulan, Fulana. Like this. We don't call her by her first name. That's not right. That's not proper. Even if we don't have a teacher, but there's a sister who's older than us, we call her Khala. We call her Khala. Or we call her Fulana. And the likes like this. You call her Khala. Or you call her Fulana. And the likes like this. Likewise, if you're a brother, and there's brothers who are older than you, you don't call them by the name. You call them Am. You call them Am. Those two young men who came to take on Abu Jahl. Whenever they came asking about this, they came to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. They say, Ya Am. Ayna Abu Jahl. And they're not even his uncle. But this is the way, the good manner that you address. You don't call him by his first name. Abdurrahman, where are they at? They say, he's like 20, 40, 50 years older than you. Barakallahu fiq. 20, 40, 50 years older than you. So they call him in this good manner, Ya Am. Amu Fulan. We have to raise our children upon this way likewise. We have to raise our children upon this way likewise, to respect the elders. Laysa minna man lam yuwaqqir kabirana. He's not from us, the one who doesn't honor our elders. So our elders, they have a right over us. We don't just call them Yani Brother Ali. Like this, you honor him. You mention some good term along with that. Barakallah fiq. And because he's older than you, way older than you. And in Islam, we respect the elders. This is one of the beauty of the deen. Respect the elders. So how about if along with that, he's older than you and he's a teacher? Some of them, they've been teacher longer than some of them been alive. Some of them, they've been teaching Salafiyah before anybody, longer than these people even heard the word Salafiyah. Maybe they was upon a deviant way. And then, Yani subhanAllah, we have to have, the point is that wallahi, you have to have honor and respect. Imam Ahmad, he never called Ali ibn Madini, rahimahullah, by his name. Brother Abu Hatim, he said, I never heard anyone call him by his name ever. And out of respect for him and status for him, because of his diligence to learn and apply the knowledge and spread it. So they love him for that. So they honor and respect him for that. So this is something that's very important, and it's a means to benefit from the teachers and a means to benefit from the scholars. And we have a major problem in these days, people disrespecting the people of knowledge, disrespecting the scholars that are well known and upright, disrespecting them like they're nothing. And likewise, under that, if they disrespect the scholars, and what do you think they do about the students? Then what do you think they do about the students? No, we have to have honor. We have to have respect. What this affair is in moderation. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions these affairs. And he says, لكن ينبغي أن يحترمه ويوقره بدون غلو. But the student, he must respect and honor the teacher without going to extremes. This is another problem. فلا تفعل كما يفعل بعض الناس في مشايخهم ومن يزعمونهم أولياء. So you don't do like some of the people do with their mashayikh and claiming that they're awliya. ينحني الإنسان الله انحناء كأنه حصر ظهره ليركبه. You don't bow down for your shaykh, like bow down, like not necessarily ruku, but bowing down and lowering your head like you want the shaykh to get on top of you and ride on your back. This is what the shaykh says, huh? Not to clarify, sometimes you do this. You say things like this, that's a little bit, yani, that's qabih. It's not. In order to see, people don't realize that maybe. You don't lower your head for your shaykh. You don't, in honoring your shaykh, we're not saying that you lower your head and bend down like you want him to ride on your back. You understand it doesn't sound nice, right? So it's said in this manner sometimes like this, so people realize, oh, that's not right. That's not right. You see how wrong that is. You see how wrong that is. So he's saying we're not saying that you do that. You don't do that. This is going to extremes. This is going to extremes. And then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَلَا تَكُنْ جَافِيًا غَلِيظًا تُخَاطِبُ الشَّيْكَ كَأَنَّمَا تُخَاطِبُ قَرِينًا لَكَ فِي نَبَرَاتِ كَلَامِكَ وَفِي حَدِيثِكَ وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ. And also, you're not rude, you're not harsh, and you talk to your shaykh like you're talking to one of your peers, like you're talking to one of your friends. You also don't talk to him like that, yani even in the same tone of speech. You don't talk to the shaykh in the same tone of speech like that. Likewise, in the way that you speak to him and the likes like this. And there's a moderate path. There's a moderate path. This is very important, that we show honor for the people of knowledge. And we put everyone in their proper place. We don't raise those who do not need to be raised. We don't raise them to a level beyond their level. And likewise, we don't lower them out of the level that they do not deserve. But they respect them accordingly. أُمِرْنَا نُنَزِيلَ النَّاسِ مَنَزِيلَهُمْ. We're ordered to put the people in their proper places. So this is from the beautiful manners of the religion. The elders in general, we have to respect them and honor them. And talk to them with goodness and call them by a good name. You call them Ya'am. Or you call him Shaykh. And you don't mean Shaykh like he's a great scholar or a teacher. Meaning that he's older than you. And the likes like this. And the likes like this. And then if he's older than you and he's a teacher, then even more rightful he should be honored. Even if he's younger and he's a teacher, then likewise he still should be honored. Some of the Salaf, they would stop at a door and they would say, "You go first." And he said, "No, you go first." He said, "Wallahi," one of them would say, like Sufyan ibn Uyayn and the likes of them. They said, "Wallahi, if I knew you were one day older than me, I'd never go before you. Wallahi, if I knew you were one day older than me, I'd never go through the door before you." And he meaning out of respect and honor for the elder. To this extent, if you're one day older than me, you have the right to go first through the door. And this is something that's deen. You honor and respect the elders. We honor and respect the elders, whether they're males and females. Likewise, the males and the females. So from the good ways to honor your brother in general is to call him by his kunya. Is to call him by his kunya. And this is a good way in general, especially if he's your teacher or if she's your teacher, you call her by her kunya. But you don't call him or her by their name like they're your friends. Even if they're friendly with you. Even if they make you feel that they're best friend. They might make you feel that you're their best friend. And that's what has been mentioned about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that everybody who would be in his company, they would think that they're his best friend, of how kind he was to them. He would feel like he loves me more than everybody else because of how nice he is to me. So this is from the good way to have good manners and to have good etiquette in dealing with the people. So with regards to Abu al-Hasan, Ali ibn Madini rahimahullah ta'ala, no one ever called him by his name. Even to the extent that Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he's one of his teachers, and he narrated from him. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna is from the greatest teachers of Ali al-Madini, and he also narrated from him. So he reached a high level in knowledge and in respect. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned about Ali ibn Madini, rahimahullah, ما استصغرت نفسي عند أحد إلا عند Ali ibn Madini. I didn't belittle myself and consider myself insignificant in front of anyone except for Ali ibn Al-Madini, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he was a great imam. Al-Bukhari heard him saying, "Atafaqquhu fi ma'ani al-hadith nisfu al-ilm, wa ma'rifatu al-rijali nisfu al-ilm." That he would say, seeking the understanding of the meanings of the narrations is half of the knowledge, and seeking understanding of the men of the narrations is the other half. Because the people of knowledge, they would say, "Al-kalam fi fiqh al-hadith far'un an sihatihi." Al-kalam fi fiqh al-hadith far'un an sihatihi. To speak about the rulings and the benefits that are derived from the narrations, this is stemming from its authenticity. So before you're going to talk about the great benefits that are found in the narrations and the rulings that are derived from there and the likes like this, you have to establish that it's authentic in the first place. This is with regards to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our previous classes in the seminar, we're discussing the issues of the usul of the sunnah, and from that is the creed of the Salaf with regards to the Qur'an, and also with regards to seeing Allah, and also with regards to the speech of Allah and the attributes of Allah in general. It's been narrated from Muhammad ibn Uthman ibn Abi Shayba. He says, "Sami'tu Aliyan 'ala al-minbar." I heard Ali saying on the minbar, "Yaqulu man za'ama anna al-Qur'ana makhluqun fa huwa kafir." Whoever claims that the Qur'an is created, then he's a disbeliever. "Wa man za'ama anna Allah la yura fa huwa kafir." Whoever claims that Allah will not be seen in the hereafter, he's a disbeliever. "Wa man za'ama anna Allah lam yukallim Musa 'ala al-haqiqa fa huwa kafir." Whoever claims that Allah did not speak to Musa in reality, then he's a disbeliever. And also it's been narrated that he said, "Sami'tu Ali ibn Madini yaqulu qabla an yamuta bi shahrayn." I heard Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, saying 2 months before he died, "Al-Qur'anu kalam Allah ghayru makhluq, wa man qala makhluqun fa huwa kafir." That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it's not created. And whoever claims that it's created, then he's a disbeliever. He died in the year 234, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is a brief biography of this great imam that I summarized from Sirah Alam al-Nubala. There's many narrations and benefits there, but I wanted to just mention something briefly so we know whose book we're reading and so we understand his level and what he's talking about. So in this work, he says in the beginning, فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِنَّ الْإِسْنَادِ يَدُورُ عَلَى سِتَّةِ. I looked, and he pondering and reflecting, and I found that the chain of narration revolves around six. So now this is what we were waiting for. We're going to write these names down, or take them down from the recording and memorize them. For those who are interested in this affair and want to have a stronger understanding of the narrators of hadith and the tabaqat. Number one, in Al-Madina, Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Ubaidillah ibn Abdullah ibn Shihab Zuhri. I mentioned the whole name, but you can suffice with Muhammad ibn Shihab. If you just suffice, or even if it's harder, Ibn Shihab. Or even if it's harder, Az-Zuhri. And he's known by these. He's known by Ibn Shihab, and he's known by Az-Zuhri. He died in the year 124. His kunya is Abu Bakr. He is from the first to collect the narrations in written form at the command of the Khalifa of that time, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, who died in 101. Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, he's from the first to collect the narrations in written form. And then the Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he took that the works that he collected and he copied them and sent them all throughout the lands. And this was the first initiation of spreading the Sunnah in this manner, in written form, and gathering them together. Although they were just gathered in a general manner, without any chapters or without any categories. His name is Muhammad ibn Shihab Az-Zuhri. Az-Zuhri from Bani Zuhra. Rahimahullah, he died in 124. In Mecca, number two, Amr ibn Dinar, Abu Muhammad. He died 2 years after him. Which was? 126. Amr ibn Dinar, Abu Muhammad. He died in 126. Number three, in Basra, Al-Basra, Qatada ibn Diyam al-Sudusi, Abu al-Khitam. We talked about him a number of times. Even in the youth class, we were talking about him. Some of the youth, they were grabbing him by his hand and taking him to Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. Anas was very happy whenever he seen the youth taking Qatada to him to seek knowledge and to learn. So in Basra, Qatada ibn Diyam al-Sudusi, Abu al-Khitab, he died in the year 117, rahimahullah. And number four, also from al-Basra, Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, Abu Nasr, he died in the year 132. We talk about him often. He's the one who said, "Ta'alamu niyya fi innaha ablagu min al-amal." You have to learn the intention because it's more severe than the action. We discussed these benefits before. Likewise, he's the one who said, لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسم. لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسم. The knowledge is not, you cannot obtain knowledge by relaxing and kicking back. And by relaxation of the body. He's the one who mentioned the likes of these narrations. Number five, in Al-Kufa, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, Amr ibn Abdullah. He died in the year 129. Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, rahimahullah. Number six, Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-A'mash, Abu Muhammad. He died in the year 148. Al-A'mash, Abu Muhammad, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's from the great scholars of hadith. So these six here, he says that the narrations revolve around them. So the majority of the narrations, you're going to find that they revolve around them. Most of these here, they narrate from the Kibar al-Tabi'in. Most of them here, these six here, although Qatada, he narrates on Anas, and Ibn Shihab, maybe he narrate. They might narrate on some of the Sahaba, a few of them. The majority of them here, they're from Sigar al-Tabi'in. They're all here from the Sigar al-Tabi'in, from the smaller ones from the Tabi'in. So most of their narrations, the narration is from the Tabi'in, the larger Tabi'in. But if you find, you'll find the chain of narration. That's why we talk about those main schools of thought. And then the students of Ibn Mas'ud, and the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and the students of Zayd ibn Thabit. Those students there, they're going to be coming to these guys. These handful of students here, the majority of the narrations are coming from these six to them. Up to these well-known companions. So, and to other companions likewise. But this is the point here.
Location?
Al-Amash is from Kufa. Abu Ishaq and Al-Amash, both of them are from Kufa. Qatada and Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, both of them are from Basra. Amr ibn Dinar, he's from Mecca. And Ibn Shihab, he's from Al-Madina. So then after this, he says, ثُمَّ صَارَ إِلْمُ هَؤُلَاءِ سِتَّةِ إِلَىٰ إِثْنَيْ عَشَرَ رَجُلًا مِمَّنْ صَنَّفَ أي فِي الْعِلْمِ. And then the knowledge of these six wound up in the hands of 12 men from those who authored and gathered the knowledge. So now we have 12 more men. They're from the generation after them, from the Atba'i Tabi'in. So these six here, they're from the Tabi'in. Rather from the Sigar. You understand? From the Sigar, the Tabi'in. And then their knowledge went to 6 from those after them, from the Atba' Tabi'in. In Medina, number 1, Malik ibn Anas, Abu Abdullah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Who was that?
Imam
Malik. He died in the year 179. From those who he narrates the most on, Az-Zuhri. Many of his narrations are from Az-Zuhri. And also in Medina, Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Yasar, Abu Bakr. He died in the year 152. Muhammad ibn Ishaq is the one who's very famous for the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has some weakness in his narrations, but he's an imam in al-Maghazi. He's an imam in al-Maghazi and narrating the biography and the battles and the excursions and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Mecca, number 3 and number 4, Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Juraij, Abu al-Walid, he died in the year 150. He's well known, Ibn Juraij, he's well known from Mecca. And number 4, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Abu Muhammad al-Hilali, he died in the year 198, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Uyayna, he heard from Zuhri, and Amr ibn Dinar, and Abu Ishaq al-Sabi, and also from Amish. And he was strong in his search for knowledge and meeting the shuyukh. Number 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, all from Al-Basra, Sa'id ibn Abi Arubah, Abu Nasr, he died in the year 158. Hamad ibn Salama, Abu Salama, he died in the year 168. Hamad ibn Salama, Ibn Rajab, he mentioned in Fath al-Bari, that Hamad ibn Salama, وَلُحُمَيْدِ كَنَا شَدَّ النَّاسِ تَشَدُّدًا عَلَى أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ مِنَ الْجَحْمِيَّةِ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ. That Hamad ibn Salama and also Al-Humaydi, they were from the strongest on the Sunnah and the sternest against the people of innovation from the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. Al-Humaydi, and the author of the work we studied, and Hamad ibn Salama, who is here from those 12. After him, number 7, Abu Awana Al-Wadah Al-Yashkuri, he died in the year 175. After him, Shu'ba ibn Al-Hajjaj Abu Bistam, he died in the year 160. Shu'ba ibn Al-Hajjaj, he's someone you don't want to forget his name. Shu'ba ibn Al-Hajjaj, he's from the best of them. He's along with Sufyan al-Thawri and the rest of them. Allahu Akbar, Rahimahullah, from the great scholars of hadith who were firm and strong on the Sunnah and defending and spreading the Sunnah. After him, Ma'mar ibn Rashid, Abu Urwa, he died in the year 154. Ma'mar ibn Rashid, he's the great teacher of Sanani. Imam Ahmed, he benefited from Sanani. And the narrations that they're taking is from Ma'mar ibn Rashid. And on Zuhri. Ma'mar ibn Rashid, he narrates on Az-Zuhri. And on Qatada. And Abu Ishaq al-Sabi. And on Amr ibn Dinar. And other than him. So, and other than them. So he had a number of teachers. From his greatest students was, as I mentioned before, Sanani. His name is Abdul Razzaq ibn Hammam Sanani. He has a work called the Musannif. He died in the year 211. And then after that, the 10th and the 11th is from Al-Kufa. And that is Sufyan ibn Sa'id Al-Thawri, Abu Abdullah, he died in the year 161. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he's also known as Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he's the one who mentioned many statements that we mentioned. Inna akbaha rakbah, and tutalib al-dunya bi amal al-akhirah. وما عالجت شيئا أشد علي من نيتي فإنها تتقلب علي وأشياء كثيرة الحمد لله الحمد لله. After that was actually number 10 was in Kufa, only one of them. And after that number 11 in Sham, and that is Abdul Rahman ibn Amr Abu Amr al-Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, also a name that you do not want to forget. Al-Awza'i rahimahullah, he died in the year 157. He would say, عَلَيْكَ بِأَثَارِ السَّلَفِ وَإِنْ رَفَضَكَ النَّاسِ. You have to hold fast to the narrations of the Salaf, even if the people reject you. وَيَاكَ وأراء الرجال وإن زخرفوها بالقول. And be cautious from the opinions of the men, even if they decorate it with speech. Even if they decorate it with speech. And he had many narrations like this رحمه الله. He would say, اسبر نفسك على السنة. نعم. اسبر نفسك على السنة. Make yourself patient on the sunnah. اسبر نفسك على السنة. Make yourself patient on the sunnah. وقف حيث وقف الناس. And stop where the people stop. قف حيث وقف القوم. And stop where the people stop. Any of the companions. وقول بما قالوا. And say what they said. And you believe what they believed. وكف عما كفوا. And you will be silent and refrain from delving into what they did not delve into. وسلوك سبيل السلفك الصالح. And traverse the methodology and traverse the path of your pious predecessors. فَإِنُّهُ يَسَعُكَ مَا وَسِعُهُ. Because indeed it will suffice you that which suffice them. This is from the statements of Al-Awza'i rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he died in the year, again, 157. Al-Awza'i and likewise Sufyan al-Thawri, both of them, they had madhahib, like Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik and Shafi and Ahmad and the likes. They have madhahib today. Al-Awza'i, he had a madhahib, students following him. And likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri had a madhhab, students following him. They had madhhab, and they were well known with students. But Allah did not decree that their madhhab would remain. Although remnants of that and many of their positions and the likes in fiqh specifically remain and stay. When I say madhhab, any madhhab in fiqh, madhhab in fiqh. And this is something that's well known. Now,
Abdul Rahman ibn Amr.
نعم الأوزاعي نعم. And then number 12 is in Wasit, and his name is Hushaym ibn Bashir Abu Muawiyah rahimahullah. He died in the year 183. Ali ibn Madini, he says rahimahullah, ثم أنت علم هؤلاء إلى ستة. And then the knowledge of these 12 wound up in the hands of six. The knowledge of these 12 wound up in the hands, and it went to six individuals, only from the tabaqa after them. So number one, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. Allahu Akbar. Who is this? Yeah, these names here, they're from the best of the Muslims. They're from the best of the Muslims, rahimahum Allah. Yahya ibn Sa'id, all of these names, yani, but some of them even more specific. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, Abu Sa'id, he died at 198. Also, Yahya ibn Zakariya ibn Abi Zaida, Abu Sa'id, he died in the year 182. Also, Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, Abu Sufyan, he died in the year 197. And also, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Abu Abdurrahman, he died in the year 181. Any from the great statements I can remember now of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, any we'll discuss them inshallah about the manners. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, what did he say about the manners? He said, طَلَبْتُ الْأَدَبَ 30 سَنَةً وَطَلَبْتُ الْعِلْمَ 20 سَنَةً وَكَانُوا يَطْلُبُونَ الْأَدَبَ ثُمَّ الْعِلْمَ. That I sought the knowledge of etiquettes and manners for 30 years, and I sought knowledge for 20 years, and they, any those before us, any these people here, they used to seek the knowledge of manners and etiquettes, and then they would seek knowledge. And also he narrated, كَادَ الْأَدَبُ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثُلُثَيْ الْعِلْمِ. That manners and etiquettes is almost two-thirds of knowledge, because if a student, he has lots of knowledge, but little manners, it will harm him and harm others. And this is what we see in these days. Lots of knowledge, lots of information, and little etiquettes and manners. And the greatest etiquette and manner of a student of knowledge is that ikhlas وَالصِّدْقُ مَعَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That one is sincere and honest and truthful in his faith with Allah Azza wa Jal. And he wants the face and the pleasure of Allah and the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever these things become corrupted, don't ask about the trials and troubles that this person will bring with him. So this is from the statements of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. The statement that came to my mind is that he said, السيف الذي وقع بين الصحابة فتنة ولا أقول في أحد منهم هو مفتون. That the sword that fell amongst the companions was a fitna, trials and tribulations, but I don't say about one of them that he's a person of fitna. But I don't say about one of them that he's a person of fitna. This is the proper creed. As we have seen, the creed of Ahl Sunnah with Sahaba is that their tongues are safe from any blame or finding fault, and that their hearts are pure from having any hatred or rancor towards any one of them whatsoever. After that, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, Abu Sa'id. We read some of his narrations about his opinion with regards to those who claim that the Quran is created in our previous classes. He died in the year 198. And Yahya ibn Adam, Abu Zakariya, he died in the year 203. So these are the individuals that he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the chains they revolve around. So there's 24 names here. If a person he were to memorize these names in the tabaqah that they're in, and the days that they died in the likes like this, there will be a great any aid, inshaAllah, in understanding the narrators of hadith. It's been narrated from Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he died in the year 110. كانوا يتعلمون الهدية. كانوا يتعلمون الهدية كما يتعلمون العلم. Those from the previous generations before him, those from the previous generations before him, meaning from the major kibar, from the kibar al-tabi'in, and from the sahaba and the likes, yani that they used to learn the guidance. They used to learn the guidance, and they used to learn the manners and the demeanor, the etiquettes, and the guidance of etiquettes, the guidance of the Prophet and etiquettes, the same way they will learn knowledge. كانوا يتعلمون الهدية. الهدية يعني is the manners and etiquettes. The manners and etiquettes and how a person he will carry himself and how he will move. They used to learn that the same way they learn knowledge. The same way that they learn knowledge. I have a beautiful example here of how this religion was transmitted to us and how diligent those before us were to learn manners and etiquettes and to hold fast to that in application. And our example is in one of those great scholars from the companions who had a school of thought, and his name is Abu Abdurrahman Abdullah ibn Mas'ud al-Hudhari radiyallahu anhu. He died in the year 32. It's been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Musa radiyallahu anhu that he says, قدمت أنا وأخي من اليمن فكنا حينا ما نرى ابن مسعود وأمه إلا من بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كثرة دخولهم ولزومهم له. That he said, me and my brother, we came from Yemen, and for some time we thought nothing except that Ibn Mas'ud and his mother was from the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of how much they would enter along with him and they would be by his side. How often they would enter along with him in his home and how much they would be by his side. And likewise in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, he says, إِنَّ أَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ دَلًا وَسَمْتًا وَهَدْيًا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَإِبْنُ أُمِّي عَبْدٍ مِنْ حِينِ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ إِلَىٰ يَرْجِعْ إِلَيْهِ. He said that indeed the one who most resembles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his manners and his etiquettes and his demeanor is indeed the son of the mother of the slave, yani Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, from the time he leaves his house until the time he returns. مَا نَدْرِ مَا يَسْنَعُ فِي أَهْلِهِ إِذَا خَلَىٰ. As for what he does with his family whenever he's alone, we don't know about that. And he's being just and being honest. And from the time he leaves his house until the time he returns, he resembles the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi more than anybody else in his demeanor, in his etiquettes, in his manners, and the way that he carries himself. As for when he goes back into his house, we don't know how he acts whenever he's alone with his family. And he being just in his narration, and that what he mentioned. And he's not praising him beyond what they know. Not praising him beyond what they know. They don't know what he does in his home. As for when he comes out to us and we see him, he resembles the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hadihi wa samti wa dalli, in his manners, his etiquettes, his demeanor, the way that he acts and carries himself, the way that he speaks, all of these issues. And he more than he resembles the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anybody else. More than anybody else. It has come in Sir Alam al-Nubala that he mentioned al-Dhahabi. He mentioned, he says, Qala Humayd ibn Abdurrahman al-Ru'asi. يقال لم يكن أحد من الصحابة أشبه هديا وسمتا ودلا من ابن مسعود بن نبي. It's mentioned that no one resembled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his manners and his etiquettes and demeanor more than Ibn Mas'ud. More than any, no one from the companions resembled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his manners and his etiquettes and his demeanor more than Ibn Mas'ud. He says, وكان أشبه الناس به علقمة. And the one who resembled him the most was علقمة. Alqama ibn Qais al-Naqai, rahimahullah, he died after the year 60, like 60 or 61 or 62. Alqama ibn Qais al-Naqai, he says, وَكَانَ أَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِأَلْقَمَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And the one who resembled Alqama the most in his manners and his etiquettes was Ibrahim, yani Ibrahim al-Naqai. وَكَانَ أَشْبَهِهِمْ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ مَنْصُور ibn Mu'tamir. And the one who resembled Ibrahim the most in his manners and his etiquettes and his demeanor was Mansur ibn Mu'tamir. He died in 132. وَأَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِهِ سُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِيَ. And the one who resembled him the most in his manners and his etiquettes and his demeanor, the way he carried himself, was Sufyan al-Thawri. He died in the year 161. وَأَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَقِيعٍ. And the one who resembled him the most was Waqi'. He died in 197. وَأَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ بِوَقِيعٍ فِيمَا قَالَهُ مُحَمَّدٍ ابْنُ يُونَسِ الجمال أحد ابن حنبل. And the one who resembled Waqi' the most, as mentioned by Muhammad ibn Yunus, was Ahmed ibn Hanbal. And likewise, yani, this is the end of the statement of Al-Dhahabi. But likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned, وَقِيلَ إِنَّ أَسْبَحَهُمْ بِأَحْمَدْ كَانَ أَبَا دَوُودَ السِّجِسْتَانِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. The one who resembled Al-Imam Ahmed the most in his manners, in his etiquettes, in his demeanor, the way that he carried himself was Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, Sulaiman ibn Ash'ath, rahimahullah. He died in the year 275. So this is the clarification of how the students before, they'll be diligent to learn the manners and the etiquettes of their teacher, and they'll follow them precisely. Not only in the knowledge that they learn, in the creed that they learn, even in the manner that they worship, in the manner that they carry themselves, the manner that they walk, that they talk, in the likes like this. And this is of utmost importance in these days, to take the manners of the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, and the beautiful manners that they have, and to take them as role models. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.